All right, Evan, it is time for part number two of the show That's So Nice We Do It Twice. And what's so nice about it is I can tell you about betonline.ag, including my back-to-back victories in the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge, which means not five, but 10 of you get $100 credited into your account. So if you didn't already, go to betonline.ag and use the promo code podcast1 to get a 50% welcome or sign-up bonus, whatever you call it. Make sure you go there, do that now, and then check out my tweet, at Ross Tucker NFL, and send me your account number. Maybe you'll be one of the people they pick for one of the $100 credits into your account, which is pretty cool. Again, it's betonline.ag. The promo code is always podcast1, and you always get the 50% welcome bonus, and you might get 100 bones credited into your account. You can see how many people have replied to the tweet, so you can see what your chances are.
It's time to eat.
Get in my belly!
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby! It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast, and this is part two of the show That's So Nice We Do It Twice. He's the star, we know it. I don't understand how he has this much information and knowledge of every guy in the league. He is only one person, the great Evan Silva from rotoworld.com, at Evan Silva on Twitter. He's a great follow, not only because of his tweets, but he's a good retweeter. He's a very good retweeter. He doesn't retweet unless it's something that's notable or interesting, and so I appreciate it quite a bit. I also appreciate those of you that know we're sponsored by betonline.ag, that they are your online sportsbook experts, and that you should go to podcast one, you should use the code podcast1 to get a 50% sign up bonus today. All right. We got the Sunday afternoon games, Sunday nighter, Monday nighter. Evan, are you ready to roll?
Ready to rock.
Chargers, Raiders. Chargers actually have a really good football team. Their O-line's playing well. They got good receivers. Melvin Gordon's a monster. And the Raiders are clearly, at this point, giving up and trying to get a high pick. Your thoughts?
That Thursday night game was just, oh, my God, that was brutal. That was brutal. And I actually streamed Derek Carr in a league where I was in first. I was lucky to have, like, Christian McCaffrey and Todd Gurley and Jimmy Graham and a bunch of dudes just went off and I got the win, but I started in a hole. I actually streamed Derek Carr and Seth Roberts and they combined for like 8 points. And that was real ugly, but the offense is like, it has been abysmal on the road. Particularly, you've had a couple of good games at home. Against Indianapolis, they put up some points, and against Cleveland, they put up a lot of points, 45 to be exact. So, I mean, based on that, I guess there might be some hope that they do something here against the Chargers. But the Chargers are not a pushover defense at all. And at the end of the day, like, the biggest issues, I think, are with the offensive line, because Derek Carr is one of the most pressure-sensitive quarterbacks in the NFL. Colton Miller and Kelechi Osemele both aggravated knee injuries last week and don't know if they're going to play. My guess is that Joey Bosa won't be back this week, but either way, I think that this is a matchup that favors the Chargers up front. You know, this Raiders offensive line used to be elite. And then all of a sudden, it just collapses. And then in Seattle, the offensive line used to be terrible, and now it's like relatively competent. And the connection between those two is Tom Cable, the offensive line coach in Seattle, where they dumped a ton of resources into offensive line over the years. especially draft picks. They drafted more offensive linemen than any team in the NFL over the previous half decade. And then with the Raiders, I mean, they definitely have dealt with injuries up front. But, man, I mean, they have just been – they have not been a good offensive line in terms of run blocking or in terms of pass protection. Doug Martin gets the best matchup in Oakland's offense this week. Chargers have given up the second most receiving yards per game to opposing running backs and 4.42 yards per carry. Doug Martin has 15 and 12 touches since replacing Marshawn Lynch. And you know, those were games where the Raiders fell behind in both of them. You need the Raiders to stay competitive for Doug Martin to pay off. He is a guy that I don't think is tanking. You know, he's kind of at the end of his career. He's looked pretty good, I think, in both of the games. And I think that he is in the mix as an RB2 / flex option. But, again, you need them to be able to keep this game competitive. DeAndre Washington, who had been a total non-factor in the first seven games, became a factor last week against the 49ers. The nature of that game, you know, it was a massive blowout. Of course, you know, kind of skews the you know, kind of everything that happened. But this is a concern for Jalen Richard, because Jalen Richard actually leads the team in targets since the Raiders' Week 7 bye. If he's going to start losing snaps to DeAndre Washington, who's kind of a similar player, similar style of player, then Jalen Richard is not going to be usable in fantasy leagues. And he has had some decent games in PPR. Jared Cook is going to have to deal with the Chargers safeties. Chargers safeties are really, really good, Derwin James in particular. And he had four catches for 20 yards when these teams played in Week 5. His snaps have been cut recently. You know, they may be, like, proactively tanking. I mean, you know, it's hard to say, like, are they really trying to tank in terms of, you know, like, their on-field player usage? But it would be something like this that would stand out to me. Like, you have Jared Cook, probably your most dangerous pass catcher right now, and you cut his snaps, which they have done for the last three games, 61% of the snaps over the last three, averaging 24 routes per game run after averaging 38 routes per game run in the initial 6 weeks. So, you know, that sends up a little bit of a red flag. And then you're playing Brandon LaFell, and then you are playing Seth Roberts and Martavis Bryant and Jordy Nelson at receiver. And Brandon LaFell is leading all your receivers in routes run. So these are signs of a team that is genuinely not trying to win. And you know, like, from a fantasy standpoint, it's going to be hard to invest in a team that is not trying to go all out and not, you know, make optimal decisions. On the other side, I mean, just Melvin Gordon should drop a hammer here. The Raiders cannot – they have no speed on defense. They can't stop the run. Melvin Gordon has been incredible. He came back last week. Actually, his usage went up. You know, people were concerned that maybe his hamstring injury would linger. 88% of the snaps last week, his most – all year. He looked super, super explosive. Chargers offensive line is number 11 in the NFL in yards created before contact per rushing attempt. And Melvin Gordon averaging 5.4 yards per carry after averaging 3.8 over his first three NFL seasons. Raiders have given up 6.76 yards per play, most of any team in the NFL through eight games since the 1970 AFL-NFL merger. Just start everyone. Keenan Allen had a great game last week. Start him. You know, the Raiders just hemorrhage big plays in the passing game because they can't rush the passer at all. And therefore, you know, quarterbacks have time to drop back and receivers have time to win down the field. That puts Tyrell Williams, although their volume is not great, that puts them, Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams, into play as, you know, big play dependent options. Mike Williams has 6 red zone targets and Tyrell's 2 this season, although, and 5 touchdowns, Tyrell has 4, although Tyrell has had bigger yardage games. It's hard to differentiate between those guys. Neither of them get more than 4 or 5 targets per week. Austin Ekeler, single-digit touches in 4 of the last 5 games that Melvin Gordon has played. The matchup looks great on paper for Austin Ekeler, but I just don't know if the usage is going to be there. I think that Phillip Rivers has been a really solid floor play this entire season, but because he's like bottom 8 in the NFL in pass attempts per game, he has not been an upside play. But, man, I think he could be an upside play in this game. We can move on to the next one.
Next game, it's the Miami Dolphins, who are somehow 5-4, at the Green Bay Packers, who are somehow 3-4-1.
Yeah. I think that thought earlier in the season that the Patriots got off to a slow start, and then they went back home and they faced Miami and just rocked them. And that kind of like, you know, was their slump buster. And I think that we can see something similar happen here for the Packers offense. I think that Aaron Rodgers can just blow this game up. The Dolphins are 29th in sack rate, 30th in quarterback hit rate. Aaron Rodgers has thrown 12 of his 15 touchdown passes this season from clean pockets. So I think it's a get-right spot for Aaron Rodgers. Ty Montgomery gone. Aaron Jones had season highs in touches, routes run, targets last week. Jamal Williams was about did about half of the work that Aaron Jones did last week. I think Aaron Jones can have a monster game. I mean, the Dolphins have given up 5.1 yards per carry to opposing running backs over their last 6, 5 rushing touchdowns. The Packers have been really good in terms of run blocking, too. They are number 3 in the NFL in yards created before contact per rushing attempt. Geronimo Allison on injured reserve. So that's going to lock in Marquez Valdes-Scantling as the Packers' number 2 receiver. He has gone over 100 yards or scored a touchdown in 4 straight games. Only has 11 fewer air yards than Davante Adams in the last 2 weeks. Dolphins have given up the 6 most 20-plus yard completions and 2nd most completions of 40-plus yards, which is really right down Marquez Valdes-Scantling's alley as a 6'3 dude with 4.37 speed. Man, he's a fun dude playing in this offense with Aaron Rodgers. Davante Adams is going to be shadowed by Xavier Howard, but according to Pro Football Focus, Xavier Howard has given up 17 of 24 targets, 71% for 212 yards, 8.8 yards per attempt, and 3 touchdowns over the last 6 weeks. Xavier Howard is a very talented dude, but he's not a shutdown corner. And Davante Adams, his rapport with Aaron Rodgers is bankable. Randall Cobb has not gone over 40 yards or scored a touchdown since week 1. So, I mean, you know, the upside really just has not been there, and it's clearly not there, you know, even comparable to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But I do kind of like him in this game. Packers or the Dolphins have been really shuffling dudes around in their secondary. Bobby McCain, last week they started with Minka Fitzpatrick, who had been a slot corner. They moved him outside, and they started out with Bobby McCain in the slot. Then they changed it, and then Bobby McCain got a concussion. Rashad Jones, their strong safety, who, you know, at one point, I mean, I would have considered him the best player on their defense, you know, for the past couple of years. He quit last week. I don't know. I don't know what the heck happened there, but he pulled himself out of the game. You know, so they just have, like, a lot of issues in the secondary. And I think that the Packers can exploit all that. And Randall Cobb can get a piece of that. And then Jimmy Graham, Dolphins have just been getting rocked by tight ends. Jimmy Graham is a lock and load fantasy play. Brock Osweiler on the other side. Brock Osweiler, you know, the mark of a career backup quarterback is that, you know, they may have initial success when they go in the game, like we saw from Brock Osweiler immediately when he replaced Ryan Tannehill, and he had a couple of good games, especially that game against the Bears. But, you know, as the sample size grows, they kind of get exposed. And that has been the case for Brock Osweiler. And, you know, that's compounded by the fact that they have not been able to protect him over the last 3 weeks. He's been pressured on 50% of his dropbacks. That is the most in the league. The Packers are up to third in the NFL in sack rate. I really like the Packers defense plus Aaron Jones as a fantasy correlation play in DFS this week. Kenyon Drake had only 7 touches last week, and he got out-snapped by Frank Gore for just the second time all year. And you know, the first thing that I did was I looked at the box score, and I was like, what the heck happened? And then I watched the game, and Kenyon Drake, because he had averaged 13.5 touches per game over the previous 4. And Frank Gore had 21 touches in this game. And then I watched the game, and Kenyon Drake gave up a sack on the Dolphins' first drive. And it came on a blitz, and Avery Williams came up with the sack. And, you know, and the week before that, Kenyon Drake had given up a sack to Tyrann Mathieu. And then later in the game, he had more pass protection problems. So, you know, I think that that's probably at the root of why we saw Kenyon Drake's snaps cut and his usage cut in terms of touches. So that doesn't mean that he's not going to do anything this week. He should. I mean, he's one of the Dolphins' best playmakers. But it does make you question, you know, his safety and his floor, because Adam Gase is not necessarily committed to him, you know, based on making errors in the game. So that is definitely a concern. The matchup is great, though. I mean, the Packers have given up 4.5 yards per carry to opposing running backs. Last week we saw ex-wide receiver Cordell Patterson rip him up for 11 carries, 61 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Blake Martinez, their best inside linebacker, doesn't look like he's going to play due to an ankle injury. I mean, I would still play Kenyon Drake in season-long leagues, but, you know, definitely some reasons for concern there. I mean, he's got to stop getting beat in pass protection. And the Packers blitz at the number 10 rate in the NFL. Despite having that big workload last week, Frank Gore didn't go anywhere. He has 1 touchdown all season. He's been held to 60 yards or fewer from scrimmage in 8 of 9 games. Osweiler missed Danny Amendola last week for what would have been a 50-yard gain early. But Amendola still wound up with 5 catches, and he's caught 5 or more passes in all 4 of Brock Osweiler's starts. You know, in this game where the Dolphins, like, they're likely to play from behind, I think that Danny Amendola is probably going to catch a lot of passes. So he's a solid PPR play. Josh Jackson is likely to play slot corner this week, rookie out of Iowa, because Kevin King is unlikely to play at outside cornerback. That means that Jair Alexander and Tremont Williams would be the Packers' outside cornerbacks. So pretty good matchup for Danny Amendola. You just look at the route totals, because Kenny Stills came back last week. Route totals, Danny Amendola and Devontae Parker both ran 29 routes last week. Kenny Stills comes back 17 routes. Jakeem Grant, 13 routes. You know, I think that Devontae Parker is interesting as a bounce back, like DFS tournament play. He's number 2 in Josh Hermsmeyer's air yards by low model, which has had a lot of success this year. But, you know, I mean, definitely not a comfortable play, but there is upside in a game where the Dolphins are likely to, you know, throw the ball 35 to 40 times playing from behind against Green Bay. Mike Gesicki, catchless last week, zero touchdowns on the season. We can move on to the next one.
Next one is Seattle and L.A. Before we get to that one, though, I do know, Evan, that there are some folks out there whose teams are not doing real well. And basically, you're already kind of realizing you're not going to make the playoffs. I get it. Look, I get it. I've been there. Not this year. I'm still doing pretty well, but I get it. So what you should do then is go to DraftKings. You choose when to play. You get to draft a new team every week. I know a lot of you guys have thought about, you know, DraftKings. You've heard about it. They have an all-new way to play fantasy when you draft players for just one game. Very, very cool. They're doing it for the Cowboys and the Eagles on Sunday night. So it's a contest that's just fantasy, guys, for that game. So make sure you're listening to Evan when he talks about that game in a couple minutes. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use the code FEAST to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $2 million in total prizes. Again, it's code FEAST. It's only at DraftKings, which is the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Seahawks at the Rams, Mr. Silva.
Seahawks at the Rams. Yeah, I mean, I think that this game is a probable shootout. The last two times that these teams played, very high scoring. Seahawks have played pretty good defense. Seven straight quarterbacks to go up against them have finished outside the top 12 in fantasy scoring. I think that Jared Goff is, you know, you look at his historical results against Pete Carroll with Sean McVay as coach, 288 yards, zero touchdowns, two interceptions, 120 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, 321 yards, but one touchdown, two interceptions. Ultimately, like, I'm betting on the Rams offense at the end of the day. But I definitely think that this is not necessarily like a gimme for Jared Goff. I do think it's a gimme for Todd Gurley. Look at his historical results against Seattle with Sean McVay as coach. 26 carries, 26 touches, 113 yards, three touchdowns, 24 touches, 180 yards, four touchdowns. Those are the last two against Seattle. And we just saw the Chargers running backs rip up Seattle's run defense at CenturyLink Field. Over 7 yards per carry plus 23 receiving yards. You know, Todd Gurley at home now facing Seattle. I think that he has a monster, monster game. Robert Woods, when these teams played in week five, had 5 for 92 on 7 targets. He runs most of his routes at left cornerback. Shaq Griffin, the Seahawks left cornerback, has been a disappointment this year. Number 107 out of 111 cornerbacks in Pro Football Focus's coverage grades. Robert Woods, 5 catches in 8 straight weeks. Trey Flowers, the Seahawks' other cornerback, a fifth-round rookie. This is a dude that a lot of people thought was going to be a safety coming out of Oklahoma State. He got burned up by Marvin Jones in week 8, and then he gave up both of the Mike Williams and Tyrell Williams touchdowns last week. Brandon Cooks is, you know, a severe mismatch for this dude. I mean, Trey Flowers, like a big, you know, classic Seahawks corner at 6'3", 202. Brandon Cooks, smaller, shiftier, speedy guy. You look at the interior receivers that have faced off against Seattle. Emmanuel Sanders, 10 for 135 and a touchdown. Keenan Allen last week busted his slump, 6 for 124. Cooper Kupp, in that week 5 game, 6 for 90 in a touchdown. Golden Tate, 7 for 50. Cooper Kupp, coming back from his MCL sprain last week, played 60 of 60 offensive snaps, scored a 41-yard touchdown on a fourth quarter catch and run. He's a great play against Seattle. Gerald Everett drew a season-high 5 targets last week against the Saints. He ran a season-high 18 routes He's kind of taken some time to develop coming out of South Alabama, which is a D1AA school. But you have to remember Sean McVay viewed him as a guy like a future Jordan Reed. As you know, they took him very early in last year's draft. He ran 4.62. He's in the mix now as a streamer. I think he's very, very unsafe. But, you know, he's a guy with a lot of upside. If you're in a dynasty league, make sure that you get this dude. His upside is considerable. On the other side, Russell Wilson ran for a season-high 41 yards last week. Like to see that. And his passing production would have been a lot better had David Moore not dropped the would-be game-winning touchdown catch. The ball was a little deflected, so it's definitely, you know, it's been a little harsh on David Moore to call it a drop. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think he should catch that ball. But Russell Wilson, he's been held under 200 passing yards in all three of his meetings with the Rams since Wade Phillips became the Rams defensive coordinator. But I think that this Rams defense right now is just not the same that it has been. Marcus Peters is playing at a really, really low level right now. And I think that, you know, Tyler Lockett, David Moore, and Doug Baldwin can all exploit Marcus Peters with the way that he's playing right now. Rams have given up a 16-3 touchdown interception ratio over their last seven games. And, you know, this game definitely could be a shootout, and that bodes well for Russ. Don't know about Chris Carson. As someone who has Mike Davis in a lot of leagues, though, kind of selfishly hoping that Chris Carson sits this one out. Rams giving up 4.7 yards per carry to running backs. Mike Davis has 20 targets and 17 catches, most among Seahawks running backs this year. Last week had 8 targets. So even if the Seahawks fall behind, Mike Davis can have a solid floor, especially in PPR leagues. Chris Carson bowed out early last week. Mike Davis had 22 touches, Rashad Penny only 7, and Mike Davis only 58 snaps, Rashad Penny only 13. So, you know, that's where we are going if Chris Carson is out this week. Just wanted to mention Nick Vinette. So he entered week 9 with 1 touchdown in 30 career games, and he had never had 45 yards in a game. And then last week he had 6 catches for 52 and a touchdown on a career-high 8 targets. He has run 37 routes since Ed Dixon came back. Ed Dixon has run 25 routes. So I don't really know. The matchup is good. The Rams have been bad against tight ends this year. 5th most yards allowed to the position. Nick Vinette feels kind of point chasey. But, you know, he's definitely a guy that I wanted to mention. Baldwin, it should be good to go. He didn't have big volume last week, but he went over 70 yards. Dusted Michael Davis, Chargers cornerback, for a 42-yard catch down the sideline. Tyler Lockett is, you know, it's not going to change. He's going to be a low volume guy who you need big plays and or touchdowns to give you anything. His volume is just way down since Doug Baldwin came back. David Moore, very similar. I mean, you know, last week actually when he did get decent volume, he saw 7 targets. He had 2 catches for 16 yards. You're going to need touchdowns from him. And he's not going to score at that rate that he did over the previous, you know, couple of games. We can move on to the next one.
Next one, Sunday night, Cowboys, Eagles. Eagles just announcing Darren Sproles expected to play, as is Lane Johnson.
Awesome on Lane Johnson. Well, I was worried about that. I was legit worried that Lane Johnson was not going to play in this game. I think the Eagles offense is ready to explode. I think that they are a sleeping giant right now. First of all, just as a team, you know, they're 4-4, and you know, everybody just looks at records. Be less lazy. If you look at their their losses. They have lost their four losses by a combined 15 points. I mean, they're this is like a prime, like, positive regression team that is going to start winning their one score games in the second half of the year. And now they're coming off their bye, and they're facing this dead Cowboys team that just lost Sean Lee, playing on a short week. I mean, that loss was devastating for the Cowboys. They needed that game. There was no way that they could afford to lose that game. Now they drop to 3-5. I think the Eagles are going to just drop hammers on them. I think that Carson Wentz can have a monster game against Dallas. I think that and Warren Sharp recently noted that the Eagles have one of the softest schedules in terms of opposing pass defenses. In the second half, they go out, they acquire Golden Tate. You know, Alshon is all systems go. Dallas Goedert is a beast. Zach Ertz is a beast. Aguilar can't play any worse than he has. They did not acquire a running back before the trade deadline, which seemed like a distinct possibility, and Lane Johnson is good to go. So I think that this offense explodes in the second half, and you want to be on the right side of that. Running back is just throwing up my hands. You know, Wendell Smallwood got rocked in pass protection in the London game, and don't know about his playing time. You mentioned Sproles is coming back. Josh Adams, I think, has been their best, like, interior runner. Undrafted rookie out of Notre Dame, but he doesn't play at all in the passing game. Corey Clement was the third string running back in London. I'm going to give him another week, you know, where I have him probably just to see what happens, but he's on the verge of being droppable. Hit 5 yards on 5 touches in that game. Golden Tate went nuts against this same Dallas secondary. 8 for 132 and a touchdown when they played in week 4. He has had ample time to practice with Carson Wentz and get comfortable in the offense. By game day, he will have been an Eagle for almost 2 full weeks. I think that he is a wide receiver 3 with wide receiver 2 upside down the stretch. The Cowboys have been great against receivers kind of Alshon Jeffrey's type. They have a lot of size at outside cornerback. Alshon Jeffrey runs the most routes on the team at right cornerbacks, where Byron Jones plays, and Byron Jones has been just terrific this season. So that is a concern for Alshon. Ultimately, I think that in this passing game, want to bet on Alshon much more often than not. Nelson Aguilar not usable with Golden Tate in Philly. I think that there is some chance that Golden Tate takes a bite out of Zach Ertz's volume. I mean, Zach Ertz getting 9 to 14 targets every game. Probably going to take a little bit of a hit, but, you know, Zach Ertz leads all tight ends and catches, second in red zone targets, third in targets inside the 10. He is a great play every week. I think that Tate takes Dallas Goedert out of fantasy consideration and Jordan Matthews, but those guys are going to hang around and pop up for big plays at times and, you know, help the cause of Carson Wentz as opposed to the cause of people who play in fantasy. The Cowboys stopped using Dak Prescott as a runner, as a proactive runner on Monday night. You know, I don't know what they're thinking. They gave up 5 sacks, and they deserve to lose. And I don't think that they're going to have, you know, offensive success here against Philly. I do think it's notable that the mobile quarterbacks have given the Eagles the most problems this year. It's been Cam Newton, and it's been Marcus Mariota. So that is something that I thought was notable for Dak Prescott as a positive. Ultimately, I don't think that he is going to play well. Eagles lead the NFL in quarterback hit rate, and the Cowboys' offensive line not good in pass protection anymore, unfortunately. Zeke Elliott, really, really difficult matchup. Eagles might get back Timmy Jernigan, who was their best run-stopping defensive lineman last year. have held opposing running backs to 3.7 yards per carry, only two touchdowns in eight games. Cowboys need to use him in the passing game. Philly has given up the 10th most receiving yards to opposing running backs. Last week, Ezekiel Elliott had 96 total yards in the first half, six touches in the final two quarters. Amari Cooper has the best matchup among the Cowboys' skill position players. Eagles have given up the fourth most yards per game to opposing wide receiver groups. This first-round pick that the Cowboys sent to the Raiders is going to end up being a top-10 pick. And the Cowboys are highly incentivized to force production to Amari Cooper and, you know, make it – this is how the Cowboys operate. You know, they try to, like – they're not really in touch with reality. And they're going to try to, you know, create like a smokescreen to make it look like this was some great trade. They're going to sign him to an extension, which they have to do anyways because they can't afford his $14 million cap hit next year. But they're going to force hit him the rock. And I think that he is actually going to be a good play the rest of the way. Michael Gallup led the team in air yards last week, finished with 51 scoreless yards on six targets. He's like a wide receiver four. Cole Beasley took a huge hit in terms of volume. Let's move on to the Monday Nighter.
The Monday Nighter, it's the Giants, it's the Niners. Probably will be plenty of tickets available, so you can probably get a real good price. I should look it up, but I'm guessing real good price over at SeatGeek.com. I've told you guys before, it's like Kayak when you're buying flights for a plane that brings in United and American and Delta and whatever. Same type of deal. SeatGeek brings in all these different tickets, and then from there, you can see the best prices for the game you want to go to. So see the matchup everybody's been clamoring for, Manning versus Mullins, using the promo code FEAST at SeatGeek.com or on the SeatGeek app, and you get $20 off already the lowest ticket price out there. That is awesome. Again, SeatGeek.com, or even better, the app, the SeatGeek app, promo code FEAST. Life's an event. We have the tickets. You get $20 off. Manning Mullins, go, Evan.
Manning Mullins, yeah. Nick Mullins, whoo, he was awesome against the Raiders. You know, we have to adjust for opponent here, but he executed the offense. And you know, C.J. Beathard was at his best when he was getting the ball out of his hands quickly. And then he started to kind of, you know, regress to holding the ball in the pocket too long. And, you know, he started taking a ton of hits and getting hurt. And, you know, he was ineffective. And but what Nick Mullins did is he got the ball out. 2.26 seconds, average time to throw against the Raiders, fastest among all quarterbacks in Week 9. And that's a you know, that takes an impressive kind of like burst patient because the Raiders like don't generate any pressure. So, you know, I think that as a quarterback, you might even expect the quarterback to take a little bit extra time because he's not being hurried. But, you know, Nick Mullins just got the ball out, and that was cool to see. And he gave his receivers and his tight ends run after catch chances. And there's not much more that you can ask from a dude making his, you know, stepping onto an NFL regular season field for the first time in his life. I think that he is like a deep league streamer and two quarterback league locked in starter against the Giants. Giants are another team that does not generate pressure. Nick Mullins was recruited to Southern Miss by Todd Monken, the Bucs' offensive mastermind. Completed over 63% of his throws over his final two college seasons, 8.6 yards per attempt, seven rushing touchdowns. He's got a little moxie to him, man. I am excited to see him on Monday night against the Giants. The Niners played their Week 9 game on Thursday night football, and they returned for Week 10 on Monday night. So that gave Matt Breida a few extra days to get his aggravated high ankle sprain back right. And Raheem Mostert broke his arm. So that elevates Matt Breida's workload projection. Matt Breida is a really, really interesting play against the Giants. Giants have allowed 100-plus rushing yards in 6 of 8 games, 11 touchdowns to running backs. 49ers offensive line, number 3 in the NFL in yards created before contact per carry. Alfred Morris going to be a touchdown-reliant flex option. Matt Breida upside RB2 play. Nick Mullins was so good against the Raiders, he snapped Pierre Garçon's streak of 18 games without scoring a touchdown. Garçon also led the team in air yards. He is like a wide receiver 3/flex play. Marquise Goodwin was less apparent. He is going to probably draw Janoris Jenkins, but Janoris Jenkins is kind of in that same boat as Marcus Peters. Most touchdown catches allowed among cornerbacks this year, has given up 6, 74% completion rate on throws into his coverage. The last time that Janoris Jenkins played on Monday Night Football, Marvin Hall, the Falcons' 5th receiver, just mossed him for a 47-yard touchdown bomb. Marquise Goodwin, you know, he's boom bust, he's low volume, but he's got a good matchup, and Nick Mullins is an accurate passer. George Kittle, stud, you know, what else needs to be said? He's like a top 3 NFL tight end, if not number 1. I think that I would probably give it to Kelce right now. Gronk has not played at his peak level, but I think that, you know, it would be Kelce for me, number 1, and George Kittle, number 2, just in terms of all-around tight ends. Giants sticking with Eli Manning against the 49ers. 49ers have no pass rush, and then all of a sudden in Week 9 had 8 sacks against the Raiders. So, Eli Manning is – his protection is going to be an issue. He has no quick-twitch athleticism left. It's just such a bad combination behind that offensive line. Saquon Barkley on pace to break Matt Forte's all-time record for receptions by a running back. 49ers have given up the 5th most catches to running backs this year. Saquon Barkley, every week stud. Only Christian McCaffrey, James Conner, and Todd Gurley have played more snaps per game than Saquon Barkley. In the pass catcher core, Odell Beckham on pace for career highs in catches and yards this season. Does not have enough touchdowns, but touchdowns do tend to come in bunches. Richard Sherman always plays left cornerback, and Odell Beckham runs 51% of his routes to other areas of the field, so he is not going to get lost in Richard Sherman's coverage by any means. And I think he probably whipped Richard Sherman in a lot of one-on-one matchups. Sterling Shepard, 7-plus targets in 6 straight games. Niners have gotten rocked by slot receivers. Golden Tate went for over 100 yards. So did Marcus Valdes-Scantling when he was playing a lot in the slot. Larry Fitzgerald in their last game, over 100 yards. Adam Thielen, over 100 yards. So good matchup for Sterling Shepard. Evan Ingram back from the MCL injury. His target counts were 4 and 9 before the Giants' bye against the Falcons and the Redskins. He scored 2 touchdowns this year, but both of them have come in fourth quarter garbage time. The matchup is good. The 49ers have been hit really hard by injuries at safety, but I think it's clear at this option. I'm sorry, it's clear at this point that Evan Ingram is the number 4 option in the Giants' passing game behind Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley, and Sterling Shepard, and that takes care of the slate.
And that'll do it for part 2 of the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. You guys know what to do if you want to get one of those $100 credits in your betonline.ag account, as well as if you want to ask Evan any question ever. I'm totally stuffed. Take advantage of any of our sponsors. We also love the retweets on Twitter, the likes on Facebook. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.